One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
This episode is brought to you by Upstart. More on that later. Let's get into the do.
You're listening to The Honeydew with Ryan Sickler.
Welcome back to The Honeydew, y'all. We're over here at Studio Jeans doing it at your mom's house. I'm Ryan Sickler. Ryan Sickler on all social media, websites, ryansickler.com. Make sure you're signing up for the email newsletter over there. Go sign up for my YouTube page. You'll be getting a lot more footage and clips over there and everything. I want to tell you about some upcoming dates right now. April 3rd, I'm at the Rec Room right here in Huntington Beach. That's going to be a really fun show. April 23rd through the 25th, Vancouver. I'm coming. My first time. Very excited to come up to Vancouver. My passport and my night pants are ready, y'all. April 30th, Steve Simone and I have another show at the Comedy Store in the Belly Room. It's going to be another fun one. And June 26th and 27th, I'll be in Laugh Boston, two nights, three shows. Come on out, Boston. Let's have some fun out there. The website here, thehoneydewpodcast.com, that's where you can go find all the social media links, the merch, all that good stuff. And if you're new to the show, then as I always say, what we do here is we highlight the lowlights. These are the stories behind the storytellers. And today, very excited to have this storyteller on here for the first time on the Honeydew Podcast, ladies and gentlemen. Please welcome Chelsea Lynn, everybody. All right.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Oh, my God. I was so excited. I met you on Josh Wolf's show, the great Chaos with Josh
we did.
Which, yeah, he is great, which was so much fun. It was great to meet you, and I hugged you right away.
Yeah.
You're just one of those people. I feel your energy right
away.
And I'm so glad you're here. Thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Will you please promote everything, plug whatever you want?
Oh, man. Instagram, Chelsea Lynn. All my show info I keep on my Instagram. Facebook, Chelsea Lynn. YouTube, Chelsea Lynn. Just, I'm everywhere. Just search
you
Chelsea Lynn.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
Your character, Tammy, is just... It's so fucking... I mean, can I ask you, like, before we get into all your trauma, is that a person or is that a conglomerate of people you've met and things you've gathered through life that you've thrown together into Tammy?
That's exactly it.
Yeah.
That's
a little bit of everybody.
Yeah. And I really took... have you ever seen Monster with Charlize Theron?
Yeah,
I took the mannerisms and the hair.
Yeah.
And every once in a while, I'll get a comment saying like, "Oh, that reminds me of Monster." I'm like, "Yes, you get it."
Yeah.
So I took a little bit of everything and
put
it all and created Tammy.
It's so fantastic. Good
thank
for you.
Thank you.
Good for you. Yeah. So please, let's get into it. Tell me about your life. I want to know. I think you said you were from like rural Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, near Texas border.
Thackerville, Oklahoma.
Thackerville.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right on the Oklahoma-Texas border, but it's about an hour north of Dallas.
Okay.
Yeah, I graduated high school with 12 people.
Come on.
Swear to God.
Your senior class was 12 people?
Yep. No stoplights in our town. What else? No restaurants, no nothing. We have one little gas station. We've got the world's largest casino, though.
For real?
Biggest in the world.
So people flood there for that?
Mm-hmm. Isn't that weird?
That is weird.
Biggest in the world. It's the weirdest thing.
Is that what keeps the town going, that casino?
Yeah.
So how big is the town then?
Well, they built it when I was in junior high.
Okay.
And they built like half of it, and that was even a big deal. And then in high school, they built the other half. It's just
What is it, a commuter town? Like, why do people live there? Are they commuting out to back to Dallas? Like, is it, what do they call those?
Damn, I don't even know why people live there.
You know,
I really don't.
Maybe catch my throat on that.
I don't know. I didn't know why they lived there before the casino. Hell, I don't know, man. I don't know. You'd think like, so
bedroom community, I think they call it, like where people live. And then they, what, so what's the other way? You got Dallas an hour.
We have Dallas
way.
An hour away. We have Ardmore, Oklahoma, which is 30 minutes away. That's like a considered big for Oklahoma.
And is that like where you go to grocery shop and all that
we
stuff?
We would go over to Texas, which was like 5 minutes. So I'd work.
So you'd have to go to another state, mm-hmm. literally, oh, yeah. to do your shit.
Oh, yeah. I worked in Gainesville, Texas, at a truck stop restaurant at Sonic. That's where we'd go to get groceries. Yeah.
All right. So
Texas.
You're born there.
Yeah.
Take me through it all. How many brothers and sisters do you have?
Okay.
Your parents?
I'm the oldest of three girls, so I have two younger sisters. Okay. We're all like a year apart.
Are you close?
Very. They live with me.
Oh, good. Yeah, okay, great.
Yeah, yeah. They live with me. So I moved out to San Diego almost 7 years ago, and within a year, they followed me. So
they
that's
did.
How close we are. Yeah, yeah.
Good.
We don't have our parents, so it's just us. So it was weird being so far, you know, and we moved to San Diego because my husband got a job out here. So it was only supposed to be temporary. We moved out here, loved it, and we haven't left.
Yeah, San Diego's great.
Yeah, yeah. So, two little sisters. We're all back to back. My parents had us when they were super young. I think they were 17 when they had me.
Wow.
Yeah.
They're babies.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then they're kids.
Yeah.
They're not even out of high school, 17. Holy shit.
I think they dropped out.
Yeah.
They didn't graduate. No way they graduated.
No.
I don't think so.
And did they move you guys there, or are they from there as well, Thackerville?
Oh, they're from, okay, so, oh my gosh, all through elementary, I would say through kindergarten through, you know, seventh grade, I probably went to 10 elementary schools.
Holy shit. What, were you just bouncing around?
Oh, constant. Eviction, whatever, new job. I mean, it was who knows what. So I never really had like a hometown. So I started, my grandma lives in Thackerville. So when
am I saying, is it V or T H?
Thackerville.
Okay, Thackerville.
Yeah. And so we got taken away from my mom when I was 11 or 12, and went to go live with her. And that's where I went to junior high and high school. So I consider Thackerville my hometown.
Okay.
Although I've lived everywhere in southern Oklahoma.
And would you say, because I want to come back to being taken away, would you say that, because a lot of comedians tell me this too, like, the fact that they were constantly bouncing around and trying to connect and fit in with people, their sense of humor is what got them in those groups of people, and quickly they were able to jump in and be at least friendly with people in strange places.
100%.
Yeah.
I would say all through elementary, I was super shy, super timid. And then seventh grade, when I went to Thackerville, those girls and all those kids had gone to school together from pre-K to now. They knew each
sure,
other.
Sure, yeah.
That was it. And here I was, you
They're
know.
They're like extended family at this point. Yeah.
Here I was. And I remember like seventh grade, I just all of a sudden, I guess, bloomed out, you know, from the shyness. And I was like, man, these, you know, they're not going to like me unless I kind of give them something to work with. So I think that's when I kind of started to become batshit crazy. Seventh grade.
Seventh grade was a big awakening for me, too. That's when I really started to get things.
Yeah.
I really do tie it to seventh grade.
Yeah.
Of all the years of school I had, seventh grade was a pretty fucking solid, pretty damn good one. I still have memories of that.
Yeah. There you go.
Okay, so three girls, two very young parents, and why did they relocate there to Thackerville?
Oh, gosh.
What did your parents do? Just everything and anything? They didn't really have careers. They just had jobs.
My dad kept a job,
which
I don't see how. So he worked at WW Trailers in Medill, Oklahoma. So he, wherever we lived, he drove to there, which was usually sometimes over an hour each way. So he was a welder building horse trailers.
Okay.
And in that area, that was like the only decent paying thing. My mom went from job to job, didn't work, whatever. So
doing like, what would she do when she'd work? Just
convenience store, nursing home. She sold food stamps.
Our food stamp. First like, it was sold food stamps, then it was our food stamps.
I mean, you name it. You name it. She was doing it. Yeah.
So just hustling to try to feed these three kids and get by. Young.
Well, not even that. That was like she was selling our food stamps for her drug money.
Oh, all right. Yeah. Can we get into that?
Oh yeah, we can.
Now your dad was he a drug drinking? You said you don't know how he kept jobs. Why'd you say that, I guess?
Yes, but I don't feel like he was as bad as my mom.
Okay.
He was more into alcohol. They were both into alcohol, but he was more so into alcohol. And I felt like he was the one who like almost was the stable one. Which if you, oh my gosh, if I could show you, you'd be like, he was the stable one. But my mom was the one, she was the one who was like, oh, she'd be gone for months at a time.
What do you mean?
As a kid. We don't know. I have no idea where she'd go. And then my dad was either partying or drunk. So like I remember being like 7, 8 years
old.
Who's
watching you? You?
And getting my sisters up for school and catching the bus.
At 7, 8?
There'd be no food in the house. I'd have to go knock on neighbors' doors for dinner.
What?
Yeah.
So if you're 7, 8, then they're like 5 and 6.
Yeah.
You're getting these toddlers. You're all, holy shit.
Yeah. And
because your dad's out,
I feel
but
like
mom's gone.
They part a lot. They partied. So like even when they were home, they were always having parties, always having people over, like always doing drugs, like right in front of us. Like
what were their drug choice?
Well, I never saw them do anything besides weed, but I would find I don't even know. I don't know a lot about drugs, but my mom always had needles around.
Oh, man.
And I always saw needles and spoons.
Yeah,
and in movies, heroin. I knew that was drugs.
Sure,
yeah,
that's
something.
Heroin. Yeah.
But they were always partying. So they never settled down and became adults, man. They were partying our whole childhood. That's all they did. So.
And you were just taking care of your sisters and yourself?
Yeah.
So walk me through a day like that. What happens? You get up in the morning and you're responsible enough to still go to school?
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Looking back.
I was too. I did the same thing. People say to me, like, you could have missed so much school. I had no parents.
Yeah.
I could have missed every day if I wanted to.
Exactly.
And it didn't even dawn on me until somebody said that. Like,
yeah.
You're an idiot. You could have missed at least one day a week. And I went,
yeah.
Holy shit. I could have fucking done that.
Exactly.
I could have done that.
And I didn't think about that until I was an adult. And I was like, how at 8, 9, 10 years old, was I setting an alarm?
Yeah.
Because I knew what time to get up for the bus, making sure my sister's hair was, you know what I mean, and getting us out there.
And yourself, you're 8.
Yeah.
You're 8. If you just did that all for yourself, it would be amazing.
Dude, I could have missed school, but I wasn't thinking that way. I was thinking we got to go to school.
Yeah.
And
you would get up, you would knock on a neighbor's door for some.
Oh, that happened. That happened a lot.
For just bagel, anything.
Yeah. Yeah, and it was, they'd make us a sandwich or whatever.
And then you'd go to school?
Mm-hmm.
And what would you do for lunches and things? Were you making lunch for
We got free lunch.
Okay.
Free lunch for school.
Lunch too.
Yeah.
I was always embarrassed by it.
Oh, mortified.
Because I don't know, tell me if the way they did it, but our school was, if you were free lunch and we were free lunch, you had to go get a ticket. Like, it looked like a fucking, carnival ticket in the morning first. And you had to go down there with everybody else that didn't want to get their free fucking lunch ticket. And you're just looking around feeling like a fucking loser. And then you get your ticket. And then you hold on to your ticket. And you can't lose that fucking ticket. You hold it all day. And then when lunch comes, you go through the line with everybody else who's paying. And then when you get to the register, you pull out the free ticket. And they got to call out the free ticket. And then they got to write something on it and put it in. So everyone's watching you. And probably no one fucking notices, but you feel like everyone fucking knows that you're the loser with the fucking free lunch ticket.
We never had tickets. So we got to, nobody knew about our free lunches. But I think once or twice a year, our elementary would give out coats. Like, I don't even know if they're new or used coats. And everybody in the school knew that the poor kids got the coats. So when it was coat day, they would call over the announcements, the names of the kids who needed to come down and get the coats.
Nuh-uh.
And I, every time, I was so, I mean, I was pissed.
I'm like,
I was mad. And
They would literally over the intercom say, mm-hmm. I mean, there's 12 of you. Couldn't they just lean in the door and be like, Chelsea, get your jacket, girl.
For real. For real.
What the fuck did they have an intercom for?
That was the embarrassment for me, was the coats.
Oh, shit. Yeah. That's like walking to the door of the megaphone going, Chelsea, get your coat. Like, yes. I guess I got to go, guys.
Yeah. But looking back, I was so embarrassed. I was so embarrassed, but looking back, like, everybody where we're from is poor. Even the people, even the kids who didn't get free lunches or coats, everybody was, most everybody was poor. So I shouldn't have been embarrassed, but you are as a kid.
Sure,
you know?
Of course.
You are as a kid. We always had the crappiest car, if we had a car. You know what I mean?
Right.
We'd walk around. We were the family that walked around town, dude.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah. Y'all know what I'm talking about. The family.
The whole family.
The whole family.
There's
that's
that family.
When you, that's when you really feel sorry for the people. It's when the kids are with
them. Yeah, when the kids are with them.
That was us, man.
Oh, man.
That was us.
So you get up, you go to school, and no one at school is like, hey, checking in or?
No. So here's the thing. At times, they had their shit together.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Your parents were okay.
They would stay, you know, off the... They were drunk 24... I mean, drunk, okay, all the time. And I don't know if it's
because... What were they drinking?
Just beer. I think just beer. And they would stay drunk. Okay, so I forgot what I was saying. I'm tripping. I forgot what I was saying, man.
You said every now and then they'd have their shit together.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So they'd have their shit together, and I don't know if it's because they just didn't have the money for it.
Okay.
Or if they were trying to...
Right. Let's do the right thing.
Yeah. I think they didn't have the money, but I don't know. So we did have good times. When it was good, it was good. And then, it would derail and just be... Oh, we'd have Christmases where there was no presents.
Those
little kids, nothing. But they had beer. They had, you know what I mean? You could have went to the dollar store.
Yeah, for real.
And got, you know.
Yeah.
So their relationship was awful. They fought. Like, I remember being a kid and being like, God, they need to fucking divorce.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
I remember being in seventh grade. Again, that was the year I told my dad, like, this... You know, I know you're trying to do this for us, but I'm in seventh grade and I'm telling you, y'all, you got to get the hell. You got to divorce. Yeah, this is...
I don't even know why they wanted to stay together. Like they would always cheat on each other and we always knew about it because they always fought about it and they would say stuff right in front of us.
Oh, they would yell it in front
of us. And then one time I was about 10. My dad pulled a gun on my mom.
What?
And was holding it to her head.
In front of you guys?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he
bro.
Wouldn't wait till we went asleep.
He needed the audience.
So I was terrified.
He pulled a fucking handgun and put it to your mom's head.
I was so
Holy
scared.
Shit.
I slipped out the back, ran over to a neighbor's, called 911.
How old are you at this point?
I was probably 10.
God.
9 or 10. And called 911. Cops came and I don't know why. I wasn't there for the interaction with them and the cop, but the cops left after just a couple minutes. Oh, I got in trouble for going over and calling 911.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Oh, I got my ass beat for calling 911.
By your dad?
Yeah. And my mom was mad at me. Yeah. And I remember getting in trouble.
Chelsea, I told you only do that when shit's serious. That's 911, girl. I thought it was serious.
And I remember thinking, I'm getting in, like, what?
There's a gun to your fucking head in front of kids, yeah, and I'm getting in trouble. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they left. They didn't take him or anything.
Mm-mm. But they stopped fighting. I mean, that it diffused the situation. So, yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah.
That's the kind of shit you're seeing growing up.
Mm-hmm. We weren't ever, we got spanked, but we never, like, were abused. And I don't, like, my dad was an angry drunk. Like, he took it out of my mom.
That's what I was going to say. You said they fought. Did they get physical? Did your mom get physical back?
Oh, yeah.
I was going to say, sounds like she did.
Oh, yeah. It was awful. So, I think when I was 11, they separated, divorced. We went to go live in the town where my grandma lives, Thackerville. And
I'm sorry, where were you before? What town were you in all this was going on? Oh, you were bouncing Sulphur, around
Oklahoma,
so many.
Okay. Kingston, Oklahoma. Yeah.
Just bouncing around.
Yeah, Idabel, Oklahoma. Bouncing around. They split. We moved to Thackerville.
Now, why are you going with your... I mean, I'm probably asking an obvious question, but why are you going with your grandma and not one of your parents? Were you placed there?
When
they split.
Well, we went with our mom. When they split.
Oh, she went with you to go live with your grandma.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay.
So we were living in government apartments in a neighboring town of Thackerville called Marietta. That was like that's the town that had a grocery store.
Okay.
And apartments.
Big time. Oh,
yeah,
big
yeah.
Time.
Yeah. And so we lived there for, I want to say, 2 years.
And what's it like? What's a government apartment like?
A regular apartment.
Was it nice?
No, it wasn't run down, but it wasn't nice.
Yeah.
No.
And how many of them would you say in the complex? Like, were there other kids there you could meet and play with and stuff?
Oh, yeah. I would say probably 100.
Okay. So there's a community then. Yeah.
Smelt my first dead body there.
First of all, you said smelt my first dead body there.
That's been my only sense, but hey, I'm just 32.
Yeah, you got time.
Yeah.
Man. You got time.
Yeah.
What happened?
So there's this old lady who lived downstairs named Peggy. She lived downstairs and across the street named Peggy. And she was a fucking bitch. Okay. This lady was like, she was like 90 and was so mean, hated us, hated me and my middle sister. And we would go just fuck with her, like just be mean to her and she'd be mean to us. I don't even know. I have no examples. I just remember like we would just go fuck with her. She would sit outside. And she was real scary. You know how old people have like short hair?
Yeah.
She had long silver hair.
Oh, that's like Crypt Keeper shit.
Yeah. And she just looked and she was mean. So her daughter would come pick her up once a week or so, take her to the grocery store, do things she needed to do. So when we knew she was gone, we knew that she kept Snickers ice cream bars in her freezer. So we would go around. We knew she kept her bedroom window unlocked.
Nah, you guys broke.
Every time she was gone.
Every time you broke into her home.
And we would each go get.
How old were you?
11.
You guys are breaking and entering in fucking 11.
11 or 12. And
I got 9 B&Es under my belt, girl.
We just wanted the ice cream because we didn't get that kind of stuff at our house, you know? And
how'd you know she had it in there? What initially tipped you off?
Well, we'd go into her apartment and hang out with her.
Oh, okay.
It was kind of a love-hate relationship.
Yeah, yeah.
She was mean to us, but I think she liked us there,
mm-hmm.
and we loved fucking with her. So we, I guess, had saw it or something, you know, and we probably asked for it, and she said no or something, you know, and they were like, oh, we'll just break into your house when you're gone.
Holy
Can't
shit.
Even, oh, my God.
That is great.
Like, what? So every time she was gone, and so weeks or months had gone by, and we were over at her house, and she had said something. She was like, I think somebody's... And looking back, she knew it was us.
Of course.
She was like, I think somebody's breaking into my house and I'm gone and stealing my ice creams. And we were like, oh, my God. That's great. Like freaking out, you know. And one day I hadn't seen her in a while. And she was always on her porch. And I was like, this was like July, dude, middle of summer. And I was like, I haven't seen Peggy in a while. She would always do this to us. We'd ride by on our bikes and she would look at us and go... trying to scare us or some shit, and it worked because she was real scary looking. So anyway, we still do that. Me and my sisters to this day will just do that to each other. I was like, I haven't seen Peggy in a while. So I went down there. walked up her porch, turned right back around. I fucking smelled
wow.
her.
I knew. Yeah.
I knew. And I went back over to our house and I told my mom, I go, Mom, Peggy's dead. And she was like, well, how do you know? I go, I walked up to her porch and I smelled her. She's dead. She's like, how do you know? I go, it was a dead body. I know it.
Yeah.
And so mom called 911 and they came, and sure enough, and my uncle was a cop in Marietta at that time. And I remember him being like, how did you know? Like, and I go, I just, when you smell, yeah, you know.
You know.
You know. There's something in your mind that just knows. So, yeah, smelt my first dead body in those apartments. And that was the year we got taken away. So.
What is that? Tell me about that.
So, my mom, when they separated and we moved to those apartments, my mom was doing good. Kept a job. She never kept a job for more than a few months max. Mm-hmm. She kept a job. We got a car. That was something. She never had a car. You had to start it with a screwdriver, but right. It ran.
Yeah. You know? What kind of, do you remember the car?
Oh, a big yellow one. That's all I know. Yeah. Maybe an old Lincoln or something like that. But she was doing good. She seemed to have been staying sober. Like, I was like, I really thought, oh man, like I'm going to have a normal life now. And then my dad started coming around and I just didn't like it. I didn't like him around because I felt like when they were together, it was just
bad news.
Yes.
Yeah. So he was still kind of local?
Yeah, he was about an hour away. Yeah. So he'd come and stay the weekend, and you know. So that stopped, and she just went. I mean, I think she was just back on drugs, and I was still finding needles again and everything. So,
but you're still living with your grandma?
No, well, with my mom at this point. And then she gets arrested for drugs.
Oh, she did.
And then my uncle, who works at the police station, called my grandma. And
said, is that her brother?
Her brother-in-law.
Okay.
And said, hey, you might want to come get the girls because we just picked up Linda and she's going to be in here a while. So CPS is going to take them if you don't come get them. So my grandma came and got us, and it was only supposed to be temporary. I think she did like a few months in jail. She was supposed to do her few months and then get out. She had to go to parenting classes. She had to do a couple other court order classes and then get an apartment or a place. Mm-hmm. And then she would get us back. And she just never did. She got out and we didn't see her for years.
No.
Mm-hmm.
No contact, nothing. Like ghosted, or she float in and out?
We didn't see her for a solid, oh my gosh, I would say 2 years.
What? No contact.
And then none. And then she would show up out of the blue for one day or a few hours.
God.
Promise my little sister she was going to, I'm going to get a place for us. I just need time. And I'm thinking, you're full of shit. And they were getting their hopes up.
Sure.
And then she'd gone and we wouldn't see her for another 6 months.
But no word, like
none,
not to your grandmom either.
None. And my grandma was very difficult to live with. Very difficult
to
live with.
In what ways?
Oh my God, where do I start? She's still alive. We don't have much of a relationship with her. We do. We talk to her, but there's nothing. She's crazy. Mm-hmm. And when I say that, like, she's, I don't even know how to explain it. She's very her way, or she's going to whoop your ass. Like, there's no warmth there. She's very just, she was difficult to live with. I took authority well. My middle sister, Maggie, did not. So she still doesn't. So they fought. Like, I mean, like, physically fought, her and my grandma.
Really?
Yes. So that was difficult to, I'm like, holy shit. Like, but she took care of us. We always had food. But yeah, my mom would come and promise them, like,
I mean, what's that like? And then all of a sudden, boom, there she is. Your hopes are all back up. And then a day later she's gone.
Yeah. I knew she was full of shit and I had called her out on it. Like, I remember telling her, like, so at this point I'm like 13, 14. I remember telling her, like, stop telling them you're going to come back and get us when you're not. Like, you're not, I am, you're not, like, that was no bullshit with her. No bullshit with her, because we weren't ever super close growing up because of how things were. So,
and how often during that 6 months are you seeing your dad? Is he showing up at all too, or
So when we got taken away, so I was 11 or 12. I was about 12 when we got taken away. Right at that time, my dad met a woman and married her. They're still married. So they've been together like 20 years or so. Okay. And she has like, I don't know, 7 or 8 kids. And most of them are older than my dad. She's like 25 years older than my dad. Yeah.
Her kids are older than your dad.
Yes. Most of them.
Most of them.
Yeah. I haven't even met all of them. Yeah. I think she has two that.
How many? What's the age difference between your dad and her?
25 years, maybe.
Holy shit. Yeah. Yeah. So how old was your dad when he met her?
Oh, my gosh. He had. I added this up. I think he was like 30.
So she's almost 60 at the time.
Yeah.
Holy shit. And they're still together?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Holy shit.
So they met. Somehow, I don't know what she did, but he kind of got his shit together. But we would go see him once every couple weeks, but that kind of slowed down as the months and years went by.
Okay, but you were seeing him at one point more than your mom.
Oh, yeah.
And he didn't know where she was either?
Mm-mm.
Man.
Mm-mm. She was off literally just staying with whoever she could. She was on drugs. Oh, we had looked up. She passed away a few years ago, and we had looked up, you can look up people's like crime records or something on the internet.
Yeah.
And during those times, it was just meth arrest after meth arrest after meth arrest. So we don't know where she was. She was all, you know, just doing whatever. But, dad got his shit together. He went to rehab. It was court order. Cause I think he got in a car wreck, met this woman, settled down and kind of. My dad's a really cool dude. Like, I feel like he's where I get my personality from. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of the same mannerisms. Like, I'll say things, and my sister's like, oh, my God, that's so weird. Like, I get my humor from him, but we're not close because, like, he really went into that family. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's his family. Yeah,
that hurts.
Her grandkids call him, you know, Pawpaw. That's his family. I see him once a year, max, maybe once every couple years.
And how does it come about? Do you plan it or are you?
It's usually at some family function.
Okay.
So last summer we had a little mini family get together, like with the extended family, and he came, and it was it's very much like, hey, how are you? Give you a hug. Almost like an uncle that, you know, you see once every couple of years. He asked me for an autograph for his.
I wanted to ask you how he feels. Like, they all love you. His grandkids should all know who you are.
Oh, yeah. And he was like, you mind if I get an autograph for my coworker? It was really weird. I was like, yeah, okay. Like, it just felt, you know what I mean?
Don't you think, like, this is how fucked up some people are, and I know this is your dad, but don't you think that after all these years, if one of your coworkers came up and was like, your fucking kid is doing some big time shit and is so fucking funny, look at this, you would think that moment right there, you'd be like, you know what, my kid is pretty fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Why don't I reach out? Not like.
Nope. Yeah. Not happening. But yeah, right
yes.
Yeah. And he goes,
and doesn't it also amaze you that you and your sisters, like, because I feel the same way about me and my two brothers, like, despite all the fucking crazy shit, considering we turned out pretty fucking good and pretty goddamn normal.
Yeah.
Especially when I sit across from people like us every week and hear their shit, and I'm like, good God.
And we were against all the odds,
all of them,
you know.
Yeah.
And yeah, he was like, oh my God, I can't believe you know her. And he was like, know her? She's kinfolk. And my sister goes, kinfolk?
Kinfolk.
She's your daughter.
Yeah, not your eighth cousin.
That shows his, like, way, right. How he, you know, that right there.
That's it.
Told me everything I needed to know on how
two
he
words.
Views me. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I was like, that's weird. My sisters were pissed. I was like, let it go. But, it's super weird. He asked me for an autograph. I was like, oh my gosh. But. He's great. There's no hard feelings. I'm not mad. I'm not resentful. My sisters are towards him.
They are.
Yeah.
Like an active fuck you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they weren't towards my mother. And I was towards my mother. But,
okay.
And I don't know why. We can't, we've talked about it. We can't figure out what that was about.
Let's take a quick break and tell you about our sponsor, Upstart. As most of us have found out the hard way, getting into debt is easy and getting out is hard, especially if your credit score isn't great. Thankfully, now there's Upstart.com, the revolutionary lending platform that knows you're more than just your credit score, and they offer smarter interest rates to help you pay off high interest credit card debt. If you're out there right now just putting stuff on credit cards and credit cards and credit, you're going to pay so much money. I did it all through college for years, 17, 18, 19%. You're paying that money back triple, okay? Don't do that. Right now, Upstart goes beyond the traditional credit score when assessing your credit worthiness. They actually reward you based on your education and job history in the form of a smarter rate. Upstart believes you're more than just your credit score. They believe in you. They make it fast, simple, and easy to check your rate. Since it's just a soft pull, it does not affect your credit score. The hard pull happens if you accept the rate. The best part, once the loan is approved and accepted, most people get their funds the very next business day. The next day, over 400,000 people have used Upstart to pay off credit cards or meet their financial goals. Free yourself from the burden of high interest credit card debt by consolidating everything into one monthly payment with Upstart. See why Upstart is top ranked in their category with a 4.9 out of 5 rating on Trustpilot, and hurry to upstart.com/honeydew to find out how low your Upstart rate is. Checking your rate only takes a few minutes. That's upstart.com/honeydew. Now let's get back to the dew.
But I was very resentful towards my mom, and they weren't. So she came back. She died. Oh, I couldn't. I'm bad with like death dates. I couldn't tell you when people die or whatever, but I know it was like 5 years ago, and it felt like almost like a distant aunt died that I hardly ever saw.
Okay.
Like I never cried over my mom's death.
Really?
Never.
You never have.
I felt bad for not feeling sad about it.
I totally understand that.
Yeah. I did not feel sad at all. So
can I ask you a couple questions? Mm-hmm. So she would come back periodically, and then, well, let's go to her death first. Was it an overdose?
Cervical cancer.
Really?
Yeah.
She just wasn't going to the doctor and getting checked out and stuff?
Exactly. And people really don't die of cervical cancer. That's very, you can get that taken care of. She told me, I asked her about a week before she died. I said, are you scared? Because we knew she was going to die. She knew she was going to die.
Yeah, yeah. So, all right. Can we go back
Yeah.
You're living with your grandma. You're in school. Do you graduate in that house?
Yep.
Okay. With her. With the 12 other people in your class.
Yeah.
I can't get over that.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
I've been on buses that have more people than that.
Yeah.
We all
That's
have.
That's all I knew.
That's nuts.
Our whole school, middle school through high school, was one hallway.
And just rooms off the mm-hmm. side. That's mm-hmm. it. Wow.
Yeah.
No bus?
We had a bus.
Oh, you did have a bus. Yeah. It wasn't just get your ass to school.
No, yeah, we did have a bus.
Okay.
So
after high school graduation, now does your mom come to graduation? Does dad come to graduation? No.
I feel like my dad did come. Yeah, my dad came. Mom did not come. She was never at any prom, softball game, nothing.
So you played sports and stuff too, softball?
Yeah.
She didn't come to anything?
Nothing. And we lived, so we grew up poor before that, but we grew up, I think, extra poor with my grandma. So she lived in a single wide trailer, mm-hmm. and like there were holes in the floor, dude, like big holes.
Did you have kerosene heaters for that heat and stuff?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And we had some of those. Really? Where'd you grow up?
In Maryland.
Okay.
But there was a stretch where it wasn't so great. We were in these shitty ass apartments and we didn't have heat and we just had the kerosene heaters.
Yeah.
You know?
We always had to worry about snakes coming up through the holes.
Fuck, that's right. You're in Oklahoma.
Yeah,
that's real. Yeah.
So in the summer, she would put plywood across them, but we weren't allowed to step on them because they would always break. So we'd have to literally hop over the hole. I mean,
all day long.
Yeah. So holes in the roof. I mean, it was not a livable home.
Mm-hmm.
But we lived in it. That's all you can do if that's all you've got.
That's right.
So no, she never came to anything. I think my dad came to my high school graduation, but no games or nothing. And he was about 45 minutes to an hour away. And I remember one time I even had a softball game in Sulphur where he was living.
Oh, come on.
Didn't come. Yeah. Yeah. Didn't have the gas to go to town. I'm sorry, what? What?
The gas to go to town.
Oh, my God.
Get the fuck out of here.
So, damn. So, I graduate. So, all through high school, I felt like my relationship with my dad was very one-sided. I thought, you know what? I'm the one that's taking my sisters and going and seeing him. Mm-hmm. I'm the one that's making the phone calls to him. And so I graduated. This was like right before I started college. And I said, I wonder what would happen if I just stopped communicating and to see how long it would take him to reach out to me. And it was 2 years.
2 years.
Yeah.
And what made him reach out?
My sister had gotten into some trouble. And he called me to tell me I need to do something about her. I need to get her ass into shape.
You do.
Yeah.
The child needs to do it, not the parent.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the child who's been parenting all along. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's when
Isn't it amazing when you were a child and you realized that you were actually the parent in your relationship?
Yeah.
Isn't it nuts?
Yeah.
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 Fucked up.
And I remember going off on him. I mean, going off. And at that time, I was dating my now husband. And Greg grabbed the phone and went, I mean, it was a big,
trying to get in on it too.
Yeah.
Let me have some of that.
Yeah. I'm like, I got this, babe. And he was like, and I told him then, I go, you know, I haven't talked to you in 2 years. In 2 years. And I told him, I go, I stopped talking to you to see how long it would take for you to reach out. And it's been 2 years. He was like, no, that's not true. I was like, so it was a big old thing. And I felt like then is when our relationship turned more towards like a distant relative that I hardly saw. And we weren't close. We were close growing up.
You and your dad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's the one you took to.
Yeah. He was a great, when he wasn't drunk, he was great. So that's my relationship with my dad.
And where do you go after graduation? Do you still with your grandma? Do you move out?
I went to college.
Okay. Where'd you go?
I went to my freshman year. I went to Mid-America Christian University.
Where is that?
In Oklahoma City.
Okay.
And I played softball.
You on a scholarship? Mm-hmm. All right. Good for you. Yeah. All right. Fuck yeah.
And loved it. Oh my God.
Was it paid full ride or?
Most.
Fuck
most.
Yeah. So you were good at softball, huh?
Yeah. First base. First base. Cause I'm 6 foot tall. And back then I could do those splits, but not now.
Scoop of a shit. Yeah.
Not now. But
it would be funny to see Tammy out there on first base fucking scooping some balls and shit.
We're about to go do a Tammy Plays Tennis.
Mm-hmm.
I bought a skirt. For Tammy, I was like, oh, this is going to be good.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
So we have something coming.
I've always had a friend of mine is a big dude, and he can't either. But I was like, it would be hilarious if you just play first base and you DH, and all, but you can't move. Everybody's got to throw it in your vicinity, but you can kind of split, and you can smoke a cigarette and drink a beer, but you scoop everything.
God, that's
please
that'd
take
be
it.
Great.
Take it and okay, do it. You can have Tammy doing it.
That'd be great.
Scooping everything. You know what I mean? Just over here off the side, smoking and looking this way. And scooping, like, so I told her, throwing it around.
And just the one-liners that she pops
yeah,
out.
Yeah, dude, God. Yeah.
Yes, I'll do it.
Got dirt in my pussy.
Yes. I'm using that.
Please do. I'd be honored. I'd be honored. Okay. I'll be the guy. I'll throw balls to you. I'll be on your softball team, goddammit.
Yes.
Okay, so it turns bad, distant relative at this point. You're now in college.
Yeah.
Not coming to see any college games. Now, how far is Oklahoma City from
him?
Thackerville or where?
2 hours.
Okay.
Yeah, two hours.
Very reasonable, yeah.
So my aunt on my dad's side and my grandmother on my dad's side were wonderful growing up.
Okay.
They came to as many games as they could. You know, my aunt had two sons our age. So she had her own family, but she did everything she could to really, you know, she knew how fucked up my parents were. My grandma, I mean, she took care of us, but she was very, like I said, very difficult to live with and deal with. So as soon as school was out for the summer, we were going over to our aunt's and spending the whole summer. And she was wonderful. Still to this day, her and my uncle are as close to a mother and father that I've ever had.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, okay, good. So you had that.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I had something.
Right.
You know, I really. So went to college, had a blast, met some of my best friends.
Were you a good student? And with all this shit going on, were you pretty good in school?
Like good grades?
Yeah.
No.
But like what? C's?
Barely.
Still, I mean, listen, for what you went through to get C's, that's straight fucking A's to me.
I mean,
the fact that you're not getting F's and failing out is remarkable.
I think if it wasn't for softball in high school, I don't think I would have.
Sports are huge.
I wouldn't have passed high school. I'll tell you that right now.
I mean, I got to ask you, there's only 12 in your graduate. Is everybody playing fucking softball? Is everybody on the team?
Well, 9th through 12th could play.
Okay, all right.
So 9th through 12th were on one team. But everybody did play.
Yeah.
Yeah. If it weren't for softball, high school and college especially, no. I just wanted to play. I loved it.
And what was that like? I mean, I got to imagine a culture shock going from a double wide to a university.
Yeah. And especially just being on your own. I went up there with my best friend from high school. We roomed together. She's still my best friend. Man, it was awesome because to get away, and I felt bad because my sisters were still there.
To see all this other shit that's going on out in the world, too. You know, other people living the way they live. And
yeah.
That's great.
Loved it. Met my husband. He was going to Southeastern Oklahoma State University, which is in Durant, Oklahoma. It's the same town where my aunt and grandma lived.
Okay.
Where I'd go spend summers. And met him on Facebook, and I was like, oh, like, you go to Southeastern? Because I was down there every weekend anyway, visiting my aunt and stuff, when we didn't have games. And met him, started dating instantly, transferred the next year.
You transferred out of your school? Mm-hmm. Did you play softball there?
Nope.
Oh, okay.
Nope, because... I could have continued the 4 years in Mid-America, but I was in love, you know. Like, looking back, I'm like, man, I wish I would have played, and we just could. I don't know. Everything works out the way it does, but, you know. But went to Southeastern with him, finished out college, worked at Sonic all through college. You know what Sonic is?
Yeah.
Wow, worked at Sonic. The whole time he
worked. That was a Sonic at a truck stop? Is that what you're saying?
No, this was a
separate.
Yeah, this was just the fast food Sonic. Yep. He worked there as well with me. So all through college, we both worked at Sonic together. College was great. Nothing really happened. I felt like.
And is your mom checking in at all during any of this phase?
No.
Nothing.
No.
You're not hearing from her. You don't know anything about
Once
her, where
a
she
year.
Is.
Nope.
You couldn't even go visit her or surprise her
no.
if you wanted to.
And I didn't give a shit. I wasn't thinking about her at all.
Right.
I wasn't thinking about my dad. You know what I mean? And even I've never had hard feelings about it. And I don't know why. I've never been like, I had a rough.
You'd be well within your rights to have hard feelings about it. Yeah.
I've never been mad at him. I've never been poor me. I went through this and you know. There have been some, it was pretty bad growing up. It really was. And I've always been a glass half full person, even, you know, as an adult, because I know how hard shit can be.
Mm-hmm.
Why am I going to, you know, be upset over nothing when I know damn, like, it's just little things. I'm like, I'm so glass half full, man.
I mean, that's huge.
Oh, yeah.
That is huge.
Yeah.
Especially when you have every right to be shattered fucking glass. Mm-hmm. Yeah. God damn.
Yeah. I've never been mad at them. I remember being about 8 years old, and I remember thinking this, but I don't remember why I thought this. Something must have happened or something or was going on. But I remember sitting there, and I was in our living room, and I remember thinking, man, when I grow up, I will never live like this. At like 8 years old, I go, I'm going to have a good life. I'm going to have a normal life. You know what I mean? I remember thinking that as an 8 year old. Mm-hmm. And so for me, I guess it's been like, I wanted to create that. You know what I mean? Like high school, call it, like, I'm going to create the life I want to live. And that's kind of how I still view it to this day. So
that's great. I mean, it's everything.
Yeah.
Okay. So how long after college before your mom gets sick?
I graduated college. Me and Greg get married like a month later. He's 4 years older than me.
So you're what, 22-ish? 23?
I just turned 22. Just turned 22. And we moved to Dallas, got us an apartment. I would say a year later, she moves to Marietta, is staying with my sister.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So the middle sister has two kids, and then me and the youngest don't have any. So she's staying with my sister, and my sister helps her get like she rents like a little one bedroom in town. And I think at this point, I don't know how she's paying for it. I really don't. Maybe government check of some sort. I have no clue. She wasn't working. She had just done like a year in jail. I knew that. And
That's longer than normal. So she's been getting popped a lot, huh?
Yeah. 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 So she's coming back around, and she's sober, or at least says she is. And she tells us she has cervical cancer and that it's bad and like she's gonna die. And even when she told me, I was just like, oh, okay, I'm sorry. You know, like I wasn't sad. It was like a stranger was telling me. You know, like, oh, that's awful.
It wasn't like all of a sudden this flood of feelings and emotions and all the memories we shared together came back, because there aren't any.
No, yet. No. And so from that point up until she died.
How long was that?
I would say max a year, but probably shorter than quick, 8 months to a year. And so during those 8 months to a year, my two sisters are just, I don't know, I've never talked to them about this, but they're, how do I say it, like very much wanting and trying for that mother-daughter relationship. They're seeing her on a regular basis. They're trying to form that relationship. My mom seemed to be loving it. She would call me pretty regularly and just, what do you do? You know, and we don't talk. We never talked on the phone,
right?
You know? And it was weird for me. And I didn't want it. I didn't need it at this point. I was in my mid-20s. I didn't want it. And I would say a month before she died, she called me. And I was always real short with her. Almost like I didn't want to talk to her because I didn't. Mm-hmm. I'm like, why are you calling me? You know?
Yeah.
And I don't know what we were talking about, but she was asking me something. And I didn't answer her. And she was like, Chelsea, I'm your mother. And that just, and I got pissed. And I was like, and she had said that before in our phone conversation. I said, stop saying, like, why are you saying, like, and I went off on her. And so we ended up having a 2 hour long conversation about everything, about whole childhood, her drugs, everything. And she was bawling, made me cry. She was talking about, do you ever have like a deep conversation with somebody and then afterwards you can't remember a word that you said or that anybody said?
Yes.
It was one of those.
Yeah.
Don't know what we talked about other than she apologized for everything. She took ownership of everything. I should have done this. I should have done that. I should have came back and got you. I should have just everything.
Had that with my mom.
Yeah.
4 hours.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. So you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yep.
Exactly. And at the time, I didn't think I needed that, but afterwards I was like, damn, I needed that.
You did need it, and I needed it, and I'm glad I got it, because there's some friends I've had who wanted that conversation, and then the person died or whoever it was, and they never got it, and they never got it.
Yeah, so it just, and the thing is, before, I wasn't mad, I wasn't, you know, I was good, I just didn't care to, and I still didn't afterwards. After that, I didn't care to have, you know. And I guess
there's a lot of the crying during that too is more about feeling sorry for the you and the person that this child that was left by this lady that didn't do shit for him, and now you want to do all this, and it's too late because that kid's gone.
Exactly.
That kid's 24 years old, 25 years old. Now that kid's gone.
And I even think I, you know, explained that to her and talked to her, and she said, it's my fault. I know, I agree with you. And it was a perfect conversation.
Sure.
A perfect conversation.
If she could have done anything for you before she left this planet, that was the one thing.
Yeah. And, you know, I went up there. I was living in Dallas and they were in Marietta, so it was a solid hour. I went up there in that month, I think twice. And about a week before she died, it was just me and her, and my grandma was outside smoking. And so I thought, okay, this is a perfect opportunity. I just asked her, I said, are you scared of dying? And she turned around and she's like, no. She was like, I'm not. She said, I was. She goes, I was. But she said, it's my own fault. She goes, I had, you know, I was hemorrhaging for years.
Oh, so she knew and she just never bothered.
Yeah. She goes, I was hemorrhaging for years, Chelsea, and I never went to the doctor. And I said, why? And she was like, I don't know.
Isn't it crazy, the addict mentality? I'll get up and go hustle for that hit today, but I won't go to the fucking doctor when I'm bleeding out.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a, such a... Yeah, it's...
So the only way she even knew she had cancer is because she was in jail and they took her to the jail doctors. That's the only reason.
Yeah, I was going to say, who diagnosed it? Yeah.
The only reason. So when she got out, it was pretty much, you're on your own and you're probably going to die. And that was it. That's it. Didn't know how, nothing. Don't even know if she was still going to the doctor. I think they were just pretty much go home and die.
Yeah. Live out your days.
Yeah. And then we started to talk about that. And then my grandma walked back in and she goes, we'll talk later. And I said, okay. And then I had left thinking I was going to come back up the next weekend. And then like 2 days later, my sister calls and says, you got to get up here. Mom's in the hospital. She's about to die.
Wow.
So I get up.
2 days.
Mm-hmm, I get up and the whole family's there. And I go in and see her, and like I think 5 or 10 minutes later, she died.
Whoa!
Yeah.
So you were there, you saw it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, what is that like? I mean,
is
everyone allowed in the room? Are they all allowed to say goodbye? Or
we all went in there one at a time to say our goodbyes, and then we kind of waited outside, and then literally minutes later, we were all outside, and I forgot who came out and told us, but somebody came out and said she had passed away. And it was sad. I felt more sad for everybody else who was sad.
Right.
Especially my sisters. They were really tore up over it. And I felt bad for them. But once again, I wasn't like, it felt like a family member died, but not a mother.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So what killed me was the funeral. We had to go in. It was my grandmother, my aunt, her sister, my mom's sister, and then us three kids. We had to go in, and the preacher was asking us, because he didn't know her, he was asking us about her life. You know, I remember him looking at us and saying, do you have any, you know, what are some good memories that I could, what's a good story that I could tell up there? And we all just
didn't have
sat there.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, what the hell is he thinking? He has no idea, you know. Mm-hmm. He's probably thinking, oh, these are her kids. Give me some good memories. And we're sitting there, and I'm saying, I don't have one. I don't have one. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's...
And so my... Yeah.
This guy's like, oh, fuck, I'm earning my check.
Yeah. So my aunt and grandma really had to step in on that one. And they, you know, he'd look at us and be like, you know, what kind of person was she? And we were just like... I'm sorry. Like, I felt so... That's when it felt... I felt... It just was a weird...
When you realized you didn't even know your mom.
Yep.
Yeah. the woman that birthed you. You don't even, you can't even say one fucking thing.
I didn't come up with one thing. Not one. Man. And I tried too.
Yeah.
I was sitting there. I'm like, oh man, I got, you know, and I was
she
just like.
She taught me how. No, no.
Yeah.
She Yeah.
Fuck. Describe her. What was she like? Describe her personality. I'm like, I don't know. I have no idea. And so my grandma and aunt kind of, well, you know, when she was a kid, she, you know.
Had to go back to her being a kid. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. That's when it was, I felt, I was like, oh my God. It's awful.
That is awful.
Awful. So, dad was at the funeral.
He did come.
Yeah.
Okay. I was going to ask you. Yeah.
Dad was
and
at
how
the funeral.
How was he?
He was fine.
Did he go and see her at all before she passed? No.
No. And his wife's a little controlling, so that.
Not as older would... ladies. You know how they are.
I don't think that would happen anyway. Yeah. Yeah.
And now is your dad still alive?
He is.
He is. And are you close? Closer?
No. Hey, we're Facebook friends. That's about
Facebook
it.
Facebook friends.
We're Facebook
that's
friends.
That's unbelievable, isn't it?
He asked
for a long
me,
time, I wasn't even people like, I'm not even Facebook friends with my mom. They're like, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, right?
Yeah.
What a world we live in.
No, so I had my first stand-up shows last month.
Yeah, congratulations.
Thank you. So he called before. He called my sister, and we were like, Dad's calling, you know? He was FaceTiming. We had never FaceTimed.
Where is he now? Sorry.
He's living in Sulphur, Oklahoma.
Okay, he's still in Oklahoma.
Yeah.
All right.
So we were talking, and it was kind of weird. We're like, hey, what's up, you know? And he was like, oh, your Aunt Gail was telling me you have... And I didn't tell him. I didn't post nothing to my personal Facebook. I didn't want him to know about these shows. Your Aunt Gail was telling me about, you know, you're doing some stand-up in Dallas. And I was like, oh, fuck. I'm like, yep. He was like, well, I'd love to try to come down and see him. And I kind of just sat there.
I just got that gas. Remember, I couldn't get to town.
I got gas money now.
I got gas money now.
And I told him I didn't want him to come. I was like, I go, I don't think I'd feel comfortable if you were there. And he was like, okay, maybe future shows. And I was like, yeah. Because I talk about them a lot. And I was like, I can't say this
also,
shit.
Also, it's your first time doing it. You know what I mean? Like, you don't get to just show up all of a sudden. Like,
yeah.
I'll tell you when you can come.
There you go.
It's on your terms.
Yeah.
It's your life.
Exactly. Yeah. And if I hadn't talked about my childhood, maybe, but I was like, nah, I don't want
to. Might be the perfect thing for him to fucking hear, though.
That's so true.
You know what I mean? Like, people.
Yeah.
I said the same thing to my mom, too. I go, you know, let it be a lesson to you that you don't remember shit, but your kids remember everything. And you never know who they're going to become or what they're going to become. And one day, one of them might have a fucking microphone with a bunch of electricity and people behind it listening. And
woo-hoo!
Yeah.
Yes.
So it might be the perfect fucking thing that
yep.
your dad needs to hear.
You're right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A there's
idea.
A lot of people out there that love you and support you and would gladly tell your dad what they think.
Yeah, exactly.
Better,
I love
he
that.
He might as well stay off the internet.
I love that. Yes. Yeah. But, me and my dad, there's no hard feelings. We just, he's got his own life going on and we see him every once in a while and he's funny and he's fun to be around, but that's about it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He'll comment on a Facebook post.
He's not fatherly. He's
no,
not calling
no.
you to.
And I don't know who I was speaking with about this the other day. I was talking about the conversation me and my mom had before she died. And somebody asked, well, do you think you and your dad will ever have a conversation like that? And I said, there's no way in hell. There's no way in hell. Even if I brought it up and tried to talk to him,
he's not that dude.
He's not that dude. I think he would not admit to anything. He's not a feelings dude.
Right.
He wouldn't admit to anything. He wouldn't talk to. It'd be awkward. He'd be probably just, well, I don't know. That'd be him, you know? So I'm like, there's no point. There's no hard feelings. There's no point, you know? So.
And so you say now your sisters live with you. So one sister has two kids. What are you, a niece and nephew?
Two nieces.
Two nieces. And they all live with you?
Yep.
Wow. Good for you.
Yeah. Thank you.
That's fucking amazing. First of all, that you all have stuck together through all that shit. Because it would make sense if everybody went their separate ways. Still talk and stuff. But the fact that you're still so together and you all live together, that's got to be great.
Yeah. And it is. And you know, my followers know. That they live with, I post about them all the time. And they're just like, you know, what's it like living with your sisters as an adult? You know, it's great. We don't fight. Ever. That's we don't great. Fight ever. So I moved out here almost 7 years ago because my husband's an engineer. He got a job out here. And they followed quickly, man. Within a year, they're both out here. So, and we've just been living together ever since. That's it's great. Awesome.
I love it. Yeah. I love that you're doing that.
Yeah.
Especially with the kids, too. Mm-hmm. Like, they get to have the extended family. Yep. You're all together. That's nice.
Yeah. And we get to help my sister with them because, you know, she's got her own shit with her, you know, ex. And it's, So we're helping raising them. And it's great. It'd be weird if it was just me and Greg, I think. It would. We live together with just us the first 5 years of our marriage.
I was going to say, you guys go back to college, so you've been together for a minute. Yeah.
So it's fine. We're good.
And that was in Dallas and stuff when you did that?
Yeah.
But you've always been close with your sisters?
Always.
And there's no animosity about their relationships with mom? Or you don't ever talk to them about any of that?
We have. We've talked about it.
What do they think of, like, your Tammy character bringing up the family in there? Do they enjoy it?
Do
they ever give you stuff like, remember this? This?
Yeah, they do. They'll come in my room. Oh, you need to say about that one time? And I'm like writing it down.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
I'm like, I forgot about that.
My brothers will do that too. I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot that one. Yeah, that's
great. They're great at that. They love it.
That's good.
they love it. They're supportive. They get recognized in public. It's weird for them.
I'll bet.
Yeah. Maggie, the middle one, she's super shy. Me and Beth are a lot alike in terms of personality. Maggie's the shy one. She came home from the grocery store the other day, and she was like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Walking through the door. I'm like, what's wrong? She's like, I was at Vaughn's, and someone came up to me and said, are you Chelsea's sister? and I was like, yeah. And they go, oh, my God, can I get a picture with you? And she was like, I didn't know what to do. And I go, Maggie, just take a picture. Like, why are you freaking out? She goes, I don't know. It freaks me out. So, yeah, but they love it.
I love your story. It's such a great fucking story. I mean, I was twice your age doing the same thing. We were getting up, getting each other to school, making sure my little brother was on time. He didn't drive yet. You know, we're 16. He's 13. You know, barely any food in the house, constantly eating fast food or whatever the fuck we could get. Back then, I think cheeseburgers were 69 cents at McDonald's. We were over there tearing it up.
Yeah. Wow.
Good for you. I can tell you've always had that hustle. You've always had that heart. You've always had that focus. You've always had that drive. You've been ahead of yourself. You know, your age, I should say. You're telling your dad, like, y'all need to get a divorce when you're super young. Like, you see it, you feel it. So good for you. Good for you for fucking taking that pain and all that shit and turning it into this fucking positive character.
Thank you.
That makes people laugh and makes people feel fucking great about themselves.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that.
Yeah, you're a light. Good for you.
Thank you. Yeah.
All right, so I ask everybody, and I said to you at the beginning before we started recording, if you could give advice to your 16-year-old self, what would you go back and tell 16-year-old Chelsea?
I think I would say...
Wait, let me ask you this, because your situation's so unique. At 16... you're in high school. Mm-hmm. You're living with your grandma at the time in Thackerville, Oklahoma.
Yeah.
And you're playing softball then?
Yep.
All right. So what advice would you give yourself?
I think I would say, you know what? Your life really isn't going to start for another 15 years. So just chill until then. And when it starts, it's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I truly feel that way. I just feel like I just started living life.
Yeah.
You know, I was just coasting through the last 10, 15 years.
You're trying to figure it out. Yeah. I mean, look at your fucking past.
Yeah.
For you to even figure that out. And then that's what I'm saying. For you to be where you are now, it's.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good for you, girl.
Thank you.
Good for you.
Yeah. Just ride it out for another 15 years and then things are going to get fun. So, yeah.
And I love that you kept family close.
Like, yeah.
That's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for
coming on here.
Thank you
I
for
love
having
you.
Me.
You're
love
awesome.
You.
Will you please one more time promote everything you'd like to
promote? Okay. Instagram is probably my central. That's where you're going to find all the information for stand up, for Tammy, for all that. So just message me on Instagram. I see most of them. So I'll try to get back to you.
And go see Chelsea live.
Yes.
Starting to get out there and do live shows. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a good time. It's fun. So.
All right. Thank you so much. Yeah.
Thank you.
I love you. You're fantastic.
Love you too.
As always, Ryan Sickler on all social media, ryansickler.com. Get over to that YouTube page. We'll talk to you all next week.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.